Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
While many people would argue that there are not enough protections for people renting accommodation, among them there is a cohort who have no protections at all. People who live in digs, for example, can be kicked out without any notice. Dr. Valeska Lima is an assistant professor in DCU who specialises in housing policy and governance and has been researching into this. Valeska, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
These are called licensees. Describe for us, yes, what is a licensee?
So a licensee is someone who is renting in some capacity a room. In this case, usually a spare room in someone's home. So for example, if we think about the rental room scheme, it is someone who is renting a room in a homeowner's main home where the owner is also living in the property. So I suppose when you think about the licensees, the most common example are people who are living in digs. So usually university students, they live in this kind of arrangement because it's very convenient. It might be cheaper, especially if they're sharing with other students or if they're even sharing the room space. But the challenges really start when they have a dispute with the landlord. In this case, the licensor, which is the person who is allowing the student or the person living in their home to stay in their space under a license agreement. Mm. So this is usually the main profile of licensees.
So, and say, would that apply in the situation, say I was renting a 2-bedroom flat and then I sublet a bedroom to you, you'd be a licensee?
Yes, exactly. So in that situation, it sounds like you are the person who has a rental contract with a landlord and you sublet the other room in the apartment or in the flat to someone else. So the second person is a licensee. Effectively, you are supposed maybe passing the rent of the second person to the landlord, and then you might be organizing the payment of bills, for example. So, in that case, you'd be the main renter, and the other person would be the subtenant.
And is that kind of an arrangement legal?
Yes, it's legal, but it's a bit unregulated because in that sense, so for example, the licensee, when they have a dispute with the landlord, if the landlord for some reason is not paying back the deposit, but the licensee think they should, they cannot bring the landlord to the RTB because the RTB doesn't deal with licensees. They only deal with renters. So if a licensee have a dispute with the landlord, they have to bring the landlord to the small claims court. And then things, they have a different pace, they have a separate set of fees, it might take much longer. And then if you think, for example, about an international student who is here for just, I don't know, one academic year, and then they don't get the deposit back at the end of the contract, but they think they should, it's going to take a while for them first to understand what's happening, because a lot of people, they think they are renters, but they are actually licensees. And they only find out when they have an issue. It might be in a very late stage. So to bring the licensor in that case to the courts might take a while. So, and a lot of people, they just decide not to go ahead with that because they don't want to get involved with the courts, because they don't have time, because they don't understand the process. So this is one of the recommendations we make in the report that was published by Threshold, where we would like the licensees to be included in the RTB remit. So when they have an issue with their licensors bar landlord, they could bring their issue to the RTB.
Mm. Now, when one is in a licensee situation, does it necessitate that there has to be a written contract of some sort, or can it just be, I'll just rent you this room for X amount of euro a week?
Yeah, so that's one of the key challenges as well, because the licensor doesn't need to always give them a contract. It might offer a contract or not, but it doesn't mean because there is no contract, there is no licenses arrangement. So what we recommend is that people have some kind of contract where they specify how much is the rent or in what conditions the deposit is going to be returned. But even if there is a contract, it might be the case, for example, that the licensee is going to be evicted with very little notice or no notice at all. So when I was doing the focus groups for this research, I had several people telling me that they were given 1 hour notice just before eviction. So This is really unfair, but they have no protections. So there is nothing in the Residential Tenants Act that tells anything about how much notice a licensee should have. It only indicates some kind of a reasonable notice, but it's very hard to identify how reasonable it's going to be.
The rental room scheme obviously would form part of this. So does it seem to have been a deliberate decision not to fold that into the remit of the RTB?
Yes, this is my interpretation, because the Rental Act, it says very clear what is a renter. So what is the landlord and renter's relationship? But it doesn't specify what is a license exactly. And because of that, it left all those kinds of arrangements outside of the Act. And this is one of the reasons they have no protections, because the Act never specified exactly what are those protections. So someone who is a licensee is really exposed to this kind of situation. But actually, I need to say that most licensor arrangements, they go okay.
Yeah.
Because it's fine. But then the issue is when a dispute arises, this is when things start to get complicated. So, because for licensees, it's very hard to find information. So for example, if you go to the RTB website, they have like a short sentence explaining what is a licensee, and that's all they can find. So it's usually the only place people can find information about their situation as a licensee is when they call Threshold, which is an organization that is really leading this kind of conversation with the view to make proposals and strong regulations into the sector.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if you can answer this question, Valeska, but one of our listeners wants to know, can you claim the rent credit if you're renting a room under the rent a room scheme? I pay £1,000 a month. Would love to claim some of that back, but my understanding is that because my landlady is only renting a room, that she's not an official registered person under the RTB, I don't want to get her in trouble, as it wouldn't really have anywhere else to go, but am I entitled to anything?
Mm-hmm. As far as I understand, yes, you can claim that, because this is one of the challenges. So the licenses, they are not regulated by the Rental Act. They are regulated by financial acts. So this is about taxation. So it is regulated by a different set of laws. So, of course, I tell this person to check and double check everything. But as far as I understand, they can claim that, even if they are not registered, because it's a different type of taxation. So it's possible, yes.
Now, if people who are renting out rooms were then put under the aegis of the RTB, would that be onerous to them? What would they have to do? Because, of course, there'll be this argument that if you do that, then it'll put people off renting out the rooms.
Yeah, so we do get a lot of these types of questions, especially from the landlords and the associations. But the thing is, especially if you think about the rental room scheme, they are actually receiving a very generous tax regime. So I think it's only fair that they provide a good level of accommodation. So it's more about being respectful of people's rights. So, of course, if there is too much legislation, of course, some people are going to argue that the landlords are going to leave the sector. But then if you consider how beneficial this kind of regime is for the landlord, I don't think it's likely that they're going to leave. So this is about making sure that actually both the landlord and the licensee have access to the RTB. Because in a situation like this, if the landlord has an issue with the licensee, they cannot bring the licensee to RTB as well. So the landlord would actually benefit of this kind of arrangement, because they also have access to RTB.
Yeah.
So this is my interpretation, at least.
Yeah. And so if somebody then, in this kind of scenario, if somebody's renting out the room, registers with the RTB, is the room inspected? Is there a lot of paperwork for them? That kind of thing.
Yes. So in that situation, we will, and this is something that we are asking in our proposal, is that if licensees, they're covered by the RTB, they wouldn't have the same sets of rights and obligations as any regular renter, meaning that the place they're renting would be have inspections into the future, because this is something that happens for anyone who is renting anyway. But this is for a different type of arrangement. Here, I'm not speaking about the rent-a-room scheme, because here we're speaking about roaming someone's home. So for the rent-a-room scheme, our proposals, they are more light touch. So they wouldn't be receiving inspections from RTB, for example, but they would make sure that they are providing rooms who are of good quality, that has ventilation, that the person renting has access to cooking facilities. Because something that we find a lot is, for example, some people in the rent-a-room scheme where they keep someone in the room for 5 days a week only, the weekdays. And then on the weekend, this person has to go somewhere.
Mm. Yeah.
But even though if they're doing that, they can claim the 14K per year as if they're offering the room every day of the week.
Right.
So we would like to make sure that this kind of a very generous taxation regime actually offers something good for the licensee as well, and not only for the licensor.
Yeah. Under the rent-a-room scheme, is it just a room? It doesn't necessarily have to be access to kitchen facilities or anything like that.
It should be, but it's not like this because there is no specification or regulation at that level. This is the challenge because we see some arrangements where the licensee can only access the kitchen in specific times of the day, or they don't have access to cooking facilities, but only a microwave. So it can be very limited. Mm-hmm. And it's the relationship is really imbalanced towards the landlord or the homeowner. And I suppose this is someone's private space. So, of course, they are allowed to have more control of that. So, for example, what we're proposing is that if someone is in a rent-a-room scheme, the landlord would give them reasonable notice, but we don't specify exactly the number of days. But for other arrangements, we would like to suggest at least 30 days notice, because if you look into the regular rental sector, people, they have a much longer time notice based on how long they're renting. But for licenses, nothing like this exists. And this is something that I'd like to see some changes.
Yeah. And of course, there are different definitions as to what reasonable is. Valeska, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Valeska Lima there, an assistant professor at Dublin City University, who, as you heard, has conducted a lot of research into this.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18-plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-6-25 and 1-5-26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.